your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Time for a little bit more elaboration on what Mike and I talked about in the prior segment. I feel it a real honor to have Mike co-host this program. Mike and I did a program, as I mentioned, in the prior segment in the Portland, Oregon area that was carried on, I don't know, probably three or four stations. Pretty popular program. It was called the Cortland Hartfield Report, and it was strictly involved with, what's the best way to put it? It was strictly involved with politics. Mike, what's going on?
That was a jet plane. Where I'm near Luke Air Force Base.
Was that a jet plane over it?
That's what it was, yeah.
Free All right.
America, keeping us free, Al.
Let's not worry about starting over. Right. Let's just continue here.
Sure.
Tell us, Mike, how you got involved in politics.
First of all, I spent my formative years in a small town called Ely, Minnesota, and it was an iron mining town, and the iron mines were closing up, and the environmentalists had made the boundary waters up there free from flying and using motors and
right
all kinds of things, made it a wilderness, and I didn't think that that was bad at all, but I was very concerned about the people of that town who had lost their jobs and lost their way to support their families, and I could see the social costs of all that in terms of too much drinking, all kinds of hospitalizations and things, serious things that happen when people can no longer support their families, males and females. Anyway, that was on my mind as I grew up, you know, as an adult. And so when I've always thought, if I'm going to do something, I want to do something that makes it a better place for mankind in terms of being able to support families and keep economically afloat. So that was why I was kind of interested in politics, and I got interested in economics because economics and politics at one time was a single discipline. They weren't spread out. You couldn't take a class in economics and a class in politics. Political economics was one discipline, and they are very much joined at the hip. And so I got older and I went to college and I took I was a political science, and I also took economics, and then I was in the journalism business for about 15 years.
Let's talk about that, Mike.
Sure. Well, I went to work for KPTV in Portland as the anchorman on the 10 o'clock news, and I did that for a few years, and frankly, Al, I left it, and I left it because I didn't feel genuine. People would meet me at a cocktail party, and they would talk to me as if I was an important person because they'd seen me on television, and I knew what I was doing was glossing over headlines and things like that, and I knew I wasn't really important at all, and it bothered me a lot. Internally, it bothered me, and I finally decided I had to leave it because it was what it was, and it's only gotten worse since then. The news business is now in shambles, at least television and radio news.
Why is it in shambles, Miguel?
Well, I think it is, Al, because they're not serious people are not in that business. People are in there who will love the camera, and that should not be. It should be journalism first and being on camera way somewhere second or third. And I think it's money driven, for one thing. You know, you got to make money to have a television station or a newspaper. You've got to have people who were tuned in. And they started to get in the hands of consultants. And that was happening while I was in news years ago. The consultants will start to tell management what kinds of stories should be covered. So that's why you see stories about a lost pet and a cat, or a grandmother that takes her grandchild to the hospital, or, I mean, those kinds of fluffy stories. When you only have what we call the news hole, and that is out of a 30-minute newscast, when you subtract the opening, the closing, and the commercials, you might have 17 minutes of news.
Right.
Now, we've got a big world. We've got a democracy, so to speak, a republic democracy here in the United States. We should be learning about what's going on here. You got 17 minutes to deal with it. If you start to deal with cat stories for 4 or 5 minutes of it, now you're down to, let's say, 12 minutes. You cover a couple of sports stories. Now you're down to 8 minutes. Then you do weather. Now you're down to 5 or 6. That's not serious journalism.
No, it's not at all.
Not at all.
I think what's happening today, though, is what concerns me, quite frankly, is the fact that I almost think that the government controls the news today.
More so than ever, Al, as we saw in the last 4-year cycle here, when the government started, the FBI started telling the people at Twitter what to say and not to say.
Right.
That is the most dangerous thing. There are a couple of things very dangerous to me. One, the IRS getting involved in politics, which they did a few years ago and probably still are. And the FBI becoming political. I know that the CIA has always been terribly political. And I'm sure even under Hoover, the FBI was somewhat political. But, you know, it's the largest law agency in the world. It needs, for our sakes, you and me, citizens, that FBI needs to be as pure as possible. And it simply is not.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think. And the former co-host on this show, Jim McKinney, who's right in the middle of politics, really felt that way also. You know, he felt that the news was pretty much a way to make people think and nothing else. I think Jim probably, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the New York Times is probably the best example of government-centered by news. Mike, we got to take a real quick break here. We got the top of the hour news coming up. You guys, we're going to be right back in just a few minutes. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.